Welcome to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Dialing up the latest tactics and hottest trends, we're here to help you take your B2B game from stagnant to stellar.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Marianne. And together, we're ready to answer your burning B2B sales and marketing questions.
Each episode, we'll tackle a need-to-know topic in the ever-evolving world of B2B sales and marketing. We'll break it down with actionable takeaways you can implement right away.
And because you don't get results without real talk, we're wrapping up every show with a quick Q&A segment. So fire away with your burning questions.
Whether you're a seasoned sales leader or a marketing veteran, the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline is your one-stop shop to take your B2B efforts to the next level.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the B2B Marketing Sales and Sales Hotline. I am so excited for this episode today, Emily. We have a guest, our first guest on an episode. So the topic for today is to prompt like a pro. We're talking about putting in smarter requests for better outputs with AI, and we knew exactly immediately who we had to invite to have this conversation with. And that is Stevie. Stevie Strucker is our content manager here at Lead G2. And she is a content pro, an AI pro. And we, our entire team learned so much from her on how to best get the most out of AI. So it was a no-brainer to have you today here, Stevie. So we're so glad that you can join us for this conversation. And we will, I mean, we just want to interview you and understand and learn from you.
Yeah, awesome. I'm super excited to be here.
Great. Okay. Well, let's dive in. Let's teach the people what they came here
to hear. What they came here to hear. Yeah. Let's tell them what they're waiting for.
So our first question for you is what, just like backing up big picture, let's start with like what mindset shift do B2B sales and marketing teams need to make in order to treat AI as a strategic partner rather than just task-based tool?
Yeah. So I think the biggest shift is to stop thinking of AI as just like this one click copy machine. There was kind of this big push, you know, when people first really started using AI for copy to just be like, write me a blog post about AI. And that would be that. But the biggest shift is that prompting is, it's a two-way conversation. You should be guiding it the same way that you would be guiding a junior team member. You know, think of AI as one of your team members. If you are a copywriter, it is your junior copywriter. Another big thing is that, you know, like you mentioned, thinking about it on like a task basis. Don't think about it that way. Think about it as embedding it into your long-term strategy as opposed to just like an execution partner. So ask yourself, you know, like, how can AI help us think differently? Don't think about it as a way to make you move faster. Think of it as a way to make you move smarter.
And I think that is a huge, that is a mindset shift for all of us who started, you know, start using AI. You think of it as a task doer. You think of it as helping improve efficiencies. You think of it as doing for you for quick wins. And this is a great answer because you're saying all those opposite things. Don't think of it as quick wins. Yeah. Don't think of it as a task doer. Think of it as, it's so you're saying an employee, almost like a junior employee, but a junior employee that can think really strategically.
Yeah. And very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, like I will go into my AI software, give it some information about what I'm doing and say, what am I missing? Having it analyze information and let you know, you know, just be a second brain. You know, like just like a coworker, and coach it. That's a really big shift to make instead of just being like, you know, taking what it does as output and then being like, okay, cool. Now I'll do something with this.
Right.
If it doesn't give you what you need on your first try, try again. Go, okay, actually I need more XYZ. Mm-hmm. And it can shift a little bit, give you a little bit more, ask it questions. Mm-hmm. That's
and
also
isn't it true too that with AI, it learns. So you're It's basically understanding and reasoning. And so the next time you go to prompt it, it's going to be a better output because you took the time on the front end to teach it what you're looking for.
100%. And if you're using ChatGPT specifically, if you phrase a response like going forward, do this, like I had to say once, you know, like something that I have AI do for me all the time is analyze spreadsheets. I'll have a spreadsheet of all of these SEO metrics and I will put it into ChatGPT, say, you know, take a look at this. What kind of information can you glean from this? What kind of insights can you take from this? And then every once in a while, something that it would do is it would infer. And I don't want it to infer. I want it to read this thing and tell me exactly what it says. So I would say going forward, do not infer when given a spreadsheet. Then you'll see this little thing pop up that says memory updated.
Wow. Okay. So it tells you.
Yeah. If you look into your memories, then you will then see user prefers straight information from spreadsheets. Same thing with like when I'm doing testimonials, it would like zhuzh up the quotes and stuff. And I'm like, don't do that. I'm giving you this quote.
Right.
This is what they said.
Right.
So I said, going forward, do not alter quotes. Give me verbatim quotes from what you are given. And now it says in my memory, prefers verbatim.
I've noticed that with quotes. That's really interesting that you just need to tell it and then it will update.
Yeah.
Like forever.
As long as memory is turned on.
Yeah.
That's somewhere in your settings. You have to like turn that on. Oh. But once that's turned on, it learns. It learns from you. And if you use phrasing like going forward is like the phrase that I've noticed it picks up on. And that's what triggers that like memory updated little thing.
Okay. So speaking of prompting then, what are some other core elements in terms of prompting that you would recommend for, you know, B2B prompting? Like what does it need to include in order for the AI to give good output? What are you finding?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one is context. The AI there's kind of like a thing where some people assume that the AI knows more than it does because it's AI, right? It knows everything.
Sure.
It does not.
Sure it does.
So what is the goal of what you are doing? Who is the audience? And why does what you're asking it to do even matter? Giving it that kind of context right at the front is really important. So if you're writing, for example, give it that persona. Make sure it knows who it's writing for. And even I will give it the larger context of I work for Lead G2. This is what Lead G2 does as a business. This is what we are offering to the client. And giving it that even broader perspective, even outside of this individual assignment. And that kind of ties back into that strategic mindset, you know, using it as a strategic partner as opposed to just a task partner.
Right.
Also, you want to tell it what tone or style to use. It will do whatever it wants if you don't tell it. Should it sound friendly? Should it be professional, bold, technical? Should it use metaphors? Should it avoid metaphors? Those kinds of things will really help improve the output.
Do you recommend doing that up front or waiting until you get an output and then saying, please do this again in a more technical tone or something like that?
Right up front. I have like a prompt that I use right at the beginning of any, you know, like conversation that is just like, and the next thing on my notes is you want to give it a role assignment. So like, that's the first thing in my prompt is you act as a marketing expert in SEO. And then I'll give it the context and then I will say, use this kind of tone. I give it all up front.
So what happens, how does AI act differently if you don't tell it to act as an SEO expert, if you're asking it to review SEO, wouldn't it doesn't know to do that unless you tell it to, or it just does a better
Not
job?
Not really. It will do a better job if you give it that context, because ahead of time, I think of it as, you know, a person, right? If you are sitting with a person and you have a spreadsheet and you say, look at this spreadsheet. Tell me what you can see from this spreadsheet. That person is going to look at it, and you will get a better answer from that person if you say ahead of time, this is an SEO spreadsheet.
Right.
If it knows what it's looking at ahead of time and how to behave ahead of time, you're going to get better output.
Okay.
Because otherwise, it's just going to look at the spreadsheet as a spreadsheet with a bunch of information with no context above it. And it might not pull the same insights because it might just be looking at the numbers for face value. But if you tell it, you know, you are an SEO expert, it, you know, the bot knows, okay, these are SEO best practices. This is what's important to the context of this particular document.
Okay. So those are all things you should include in a prompt. I love it. If, you know, you talked a little bit earlier about training the AI. So how can specifically B2B marketers train AI to write in their brand voice? Like, what does that prompting process look like when you actually put it in practice?
Yeah. So when, if you already have snippets of your brand voice, say you already have a website built, you already have all of these things that are written in the voice that you would like. Give that to AI. So you want to start with examples of your best content. And a good practice is to use a variety of content. So blogs, website content, email, and then tell AI to analyze this piece of content one at a time. Always do one at a time. And say, pay attention to the nuances of this copy. I want you to analyze it and look at the tone of voice. How does it speak to the reader? Look at the syntax. How does it use sentences? Does it use long sentences? Does it use short sentences? Does it use a mix of both? How formal is the copy? And then have it just break down an analysis of that copy. And it will understand, you know, okay, this copy uses a lot of, you know, this brand really likes metaphors. They like to make things very simple. Or this brand is very technical and they're obviously speaking to like a high level CEO. Once you ask it to analyze that copy, then say, create a style guide based on this analysis of this copy. Make sure that the style guide includes things like tone of voice, sentence structure, subject material, technical expertise, and have it build that style guide. And then going forward, you can then upload the style guide and say, follow this style guide when writing whatever this particular conversation is about writing.
And you know, people who leave out these details that you're covering right now, the nuances of what it is like to read one brand voice versus another, that's where you can, the ones that leave that out, you can tell when you're reading something, you can say, AI wrote this, right? Because it didn't use the prompts that you're talking about to get the nuances and the structure of a brand voice that makes such a big difference. It's almost like, I mean, just hearing you say all this, I'm realizing, it's like having somebody write for your blog that isn't a writer. Somebody using AI who doesn't know how to use it the right way, you're going to be able to tell right away.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. You know, like if you think about, you know, like if you just think about your favorite brand, every time you get an email from this brand, you read it. Every time that you see a social post from this brand, you pause. Think about the things that make you pause on that brand. What is it about that brand that makes it interesting? Whatever your brand is, your, you know, the brand that you are marketing, it has those things too. So you just have to pause a moment and think, what is it about my brand voice that makes it sound different than everybody else? And then make AI, don't just tell AI that is the thing. Give it the copy
to see,
and then say, see for itself, analyze this and pay specific attention to the technical level. Those kinds of things will allow the AI to learn by doing. And then it will create a style guide that will not only encompass all of those things, but it will also be written in a way that AI will understand. Because you're telling AI
to write
make a style guide for
AI. That is so
exactly
great.
Well, and one of my next question here was actually to ask you about creating like almost a prompt library or some kind of way to keep track of, because you're saying all these things, but then how do people actually remember or find it across divisions or within the company when they're all prompting and wanting the brand to sound consistent? And you saying a style guide actually makes me feel like maybe that is the best place or to put this type of information. Or do you have other recommendations on how to build almost like a prompt? I know you're doing that for Leegee too, pretty actively right now. You know, recommendations around creating prompt libraries or ways for people to reference this stuff.
Yeah, I love Notion. Notion is my BFF. I have a lot of my own prompts stored inside my Notion. If your company has something like that, do that. We at Leegee2, we use SharePoint and we have, you know, like different prompts in different places. And I think that is something actually maybe we could, you know, be, you know, like start working on. Maybe we could put together one uniform place that all of these templates live. And the thing about that is that anybody can go in and add something that they found success with. You know, lean on your team is the number one thing. You know, like just the other day, someone here at Leegee2, you know, Carly, you know, sent a message to me like, hey, I was just doing this on a quick turnaround and I thought you'd be interested in seeing, you know, like how AI spat out this email, you know, like maybe you can learn something from it, you know, like that kind of thing, you know, just like if you do something that's really cool, share it with your team and then you can put that all in one place for everybody to access.
I love that thinking. I mean, AI is new, it's evolving. I mean, it's only been, you know, a couple years max that someone would have been using this. So we're all learning every single day. And you know, especially in the agency world, but as like marketers and sellers, it's important to stay up on this and to have, you know, like I keep using the word library, but like a way to continue to reference your learnings. So you're not reinventing the wheel every time you go to ask ChatGPT for the exact same prompt that you needed a week ago.
Okay. Next question. What advice would you give a marketer or a seller who's getting inconsistent results from AI, even when using clear and structured prompts?
When you go into your ChatGPT settings, it can, you can have it turned on or off that it can reference other chats that you've had. I will honestly toggle that on and off because sometimes I want it to live in this chat, don't look anywhere else. But most of the time, it is beneficial for it to be able to access all of your previous chats because it will see success and failure. Another thing, and it kind of goes back to treating ChatGPT like a member of your team, treating it like a person. If you get a poor output, look at, you know, like the prompt that you gave it, and then try asking something like, "What could I have given you?"
Ask
this response better. Ask it, why did you fail? You know, like, what did I set you up for success? What information do you need for me to set you up for success in this task?
Right.
Just like you would ask, you know, someone on your team, how can I set you up for success? What do you need to know? If you are seeing in, you know, that kind of inconsistency, the number one thing would definitely be the memory. Make sure that that's turned on. And number two, would ask it, what's up? Like, why, what didn't you have?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like sometimes if you go through like a really lengthy back and forth with ChatGPT and I just get really frustrated and exit out, I'm going to now say to it, gosh, how did we get here? What did I do wrong?
Listen, there have been times where I've straight up gotten so frustrated that I've just been like, what is wrong with you? Like, what is wrong with you?
That's hysterical.
And you know, actually, sometimes it's like, I'm so sorry, you know, and then I feel like I'm talking to a person. But other times it will actually be helpful and be like, I was under the impression we were doing this, you know, like,
right.
Treat it like a person.
Love it.
I love it. Okay. A last question, and then we'll jump into some Q&As that we've gotten. So if you could give B2B sales and marketing teams just one last piece of advice for crafting better AI prompts, what would it be? We'll leave it at that. What would that be?
Be the brief. Clearly define the who, the what, and the why. Treat it like a intern.
And, be the brief. I like
you know, like just like you would give a human being on your team a comprehensive brief.
Yeah.
You got to do it for AI too, because AI learns from people and it sometimes will almost behave like a person. And if it doesn't know, it doesn't know what it doesn't know, just like a person. So give it a brief, like a real brief, and you will see a huge difference in the output that you are getting.
I love that. And I think that really ties well with everything you've talked about. I mean, giving AI the tools it needs at the front of a request, the context, the act as role, everything it needs to succeed. And then things that are repeatable process, you're going to be asking it for this often, save that prompt, you know, put a little blank of where you said the specific thing you needed. But save that and learn from, allow AI to learn from you, but also you learn from AI what worked well, save that information, creating a document where you can reference all of this, creating guides for actual tone and audience and everything like that. And then, yeah, be the brief, continue to reference that, continue to put that into AI. Really cool.
I have loved this episode. I have learned a lot and we work together all the time. I know that our people, our listeners have learned a lot too. I feel like we need a part two of this. That's like bad prompts or prompts gone wrong. And we can go through
prompts gone wrong,
gone astray and like what you've gotten and then like dive into why.
I could bring one of those conversations where I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I know, like a verbatim chat script of like you going back and forth an argument with you. That's hilarious. Okay, let's jump into some Q&A here. So as you guys know, we do get voicemails. So you can call in and leave a voicemail, but you can also just reply on chat. I mean, on the actual episode itself, you can leave a comment. You can also go to our LinkedIn, leave comments, email. We have an email as well. All of it will be in the show notes, but we get questions. So we have two today to review, unrelated to the episode itself, but important nonetheless. So, hey there, what are your best practices for keeping customer engagement high throughout long sales cycles? How can we avoid overwhelming prospects with too much information while still keeping them interested?
I love this question, and we have done an episode about this before. It is, to me, this just goes straight back to the buyer's journey, right? Like, do you know your buyer's journey? What are they thinking? What are their problems at different stages of the buyer's journey? Long or short, making sure you really dial into your target persona and know what their problems are at different stages of the buyer's journey to make sure you're educating on those things and not just random things. Just because it's long doesn't mean you should just throw everything at them over and over and over randomly throughout their long sales process. Making sure that you're educating along what you've studied and understood as their buyer's journey and what questions they're asking at different points. So that way you can be educating, which turns to selling. I would say that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I also would just add like mixing it up, right? Like send a blog post and then maybe like a couple of days later, send a webinar that you think
they might be format. Formats of content.
Send
them
a case study or send even tag them on a social media post that you saw that relates to your conversation or, you know, just like having a variety of different things. Cause if you're just like pounding people with blogs over and over, they're going to be like, I feel overwhelmed, you know, having different ways to reach them, consultative ways to reach them. You know, you're being conversational and educational, but different, spicing it up.
Well, Stevie, knows that, because we talk extensively about beating people up with blogs too much, and we're reining that in.
Yeah, 100%.
Beating people up with blogs.
It happens. It does happen. Okay, next question. Yeah. Emily, I'm going to ask this one to you because okay. I think you have a good answer to this.
Mm.
We are thinking about launching a referral program, but we're unsure how to make it work in the B2B space. So what are best practices for leveraging referrals to generate new business?
Yeah. I've set up a lot of referral programs.
Why I asked it to you.
So I've set it up in different ways. I think having a page, a landing page where it's formalized, people can go and submit their referral online, I think is important. Having that as, you know, a landing page on your website or even just a website page. And then having some kind of lead flow from that that's separate from your regular lead flow, because it's going to be different, right? So like if Stevie is recommending Marianne as a potential prospect for me, I'm going to have a very different reach out to Marianne saying, hey, Stevie referred you, versus like someone who just comes to your website and volunteers themselves to be reached out. You know, so it's a little bit of a different outreach. So making sure you have a strategy for that and where it's going to actually go. Incentivizing it, right? So having some kind of incentive to actually refer people. What does that look like? Every business is a little bit different. An invoice credit, maybe a free thing you're going to do for them. But just incentivizing it. Social proof is so important. So I think referrals in general are, it's a really easy way to get in with people, because someone they knew thought of you as a business and referred them to you. So it's a good way to say, hey, Marianne, Stevie and I've worked together for years and she recommended me to you and thinks I could help your business. So having that connection is really important. But yeah, it's just a very different. So I guess biggest thing here, have a page, formalize it, have a page, have an incentive. And then promote it, email right. people, put it on
just
social
like
media.
Everything. I mean, it's just a campaign. It's thinking of it as a campaign, really.
Yeah. Making sure people know about it and know the offer and actually follow up on it. Right. Cause then they'll do more after it closes, whatever you promised, do it, thank them. And then hopefully they'll do more because it was such an easy and amazing process for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could ramble.
I love it. No, you've set up some great programs. Here's my answer to it. I'll lead you too.
Yeah.
We can help you.
Started with that.
A little sales pitch at the end there. No, but thank you guys so much for listening. This was such a fun episode. Stevie, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for helping make us all better at AI and also sharing your information with all of our listeners. So thanks guys for tuning in. Feel free to connect with us. You can find our contact info in the show notes, and thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And if you've got a question for us, head to the show notes and let us know what's on your mind.
And visit our website, leadg2.com, where you can find even more helpful B2B sales and marketing resources.